We all want our lives to count for something. It doesn't matter what background you have, religion, gender, nation, or whatever. We all want to know that our lives matter. Even atheists want to know that their lives have a purpose. But how can you know? If your worldview suggests that your arrival here on Earth was just a result of random circumstance, then the significance of your life is going to be random too. That's why it's so important that you let your belief in God and His Word establish your worldview. The Bible says that God uniquely designed you because He has something for you to do that only you will be able to do with your life. Your life matters because you matter to God. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview. This is part three of a message called What's the Solution? Taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, here's Rick.
The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, up on the screen. God did away with the old sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the Jewish nation offered animal sacrifices as a symbol of our repentance, our sorrow. And God said, no, you know, we don't need to do that. You don't have to do that. And He did away with the old sacrifices and put the sacrifice of Christ in their place. Because Jesus Christ did what God wanted Him to do, we're all purified from sin by His offering of His own body. Would you read this last phrase with me? Once and for all. That means He did it all at one time and it's finished and nobody else has to deal with it. Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups. He was nailed to the cross so you can stop nailing yourself to the cross for all the things you've done wrong. He says, I came to take away that first heart problem. It's called guilt. And I can get rid of it. You don't have to feel guilty because I have paid for it all. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, one of the seven things that He said was, it is finished. Now, He didn't say, I am finished, because He wasn't. He came back to life 3 days later to prove that He was who He said He was. And He didn't say, I'm finished. It is finished. What is that? The payment for all of your sins. The payment for everything you've ever done wrong. It's finished. It's paid for. In fact, that phrase, it is finished, in the Greek, the Bible is written in Greek and Hebrew, it is one phrase. It is the word tetelestai in Greek. Tetelestai was a legal term, and they would actually stamp it on a bill that had been paid. They would stamp tetelestai, it is finished. It meant paid in full. You've paid this bill off. By the way, once you've paid a bill off, how long do you remember it? Well, you don't think about it anymore. You pay your car off, you're not still thinking, oh, think about that bill. Well, once God's paid for your sins, how much do you have to remember them? None. You forget about a bill that's been paid. They would stamp tetelestai on a prison sentence that had been commuted, or a guy who had served his time and paid his debt to society. And as they would let the guy go out of prison, in other Roman prisons, they would give him a certificate and it was stamped tetelestai, paid in full. It is finished. And when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, He meant, I have paid for every sin ever to be committed in the history of mankind. It's paid for. It's finished. Now, why would God do that for you? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, He did it because He loves you. He made you. He loves you. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. Nobody will ever love you more than Jesus Christ. No man will ever love you. No woman will ever love you more than Jesus Christ does. The Bible says this in Isaiah up here on the screen. It was our weaknesses He carried, our weaknesses. It was our sorrow that weighed Him down. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. All of us have strayed away like sheep, the Bible says. But it says that we have gone on to do our own ways. And we have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on Him the guilt and sins of us all. Jesus became our substitute, our replacement. Now, let me tell you why that's good news. Let me give you a little secret. Because most of the people in the world are dying to hear three words. You are forgiven. Most of the people in the world are dying to hear those three words. You are forgiven. When you accept what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, I'm accepting you as my replacement, as my substitute. I'm putting my faith in you. Jesus says, you are forgiven. And why do we need that? Because guilt is probably the most paralyzing emotion. I've read several studies that have said that about half the people in the hospitals that are sick right now could go home if they could get rid of guilt or resentment. Guilt, what we've done to others, and resentment, what they've done to us. That guilt and resentment have such physiological effects on our bodies. You weren't made to walk around carrying guilt. And God says, I don't intend for you to live that way. I want you to be forgiven. It is finished.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called What's the Solution? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview. We're going to continue with more in just a moment, but first, be sure to check out rickwarren.org, where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. You know, thousands of people just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So please sign up and be encouraged. And while you're at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop the online store, which is packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
Pastor Rick Warren wants to recommend a life-changing book by his good friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson. The book, entitled The Good Life, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version of the original book, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 easy-to-follow lessons, providing you with a solid biblical worldview and eye-opening answers to many of life's most perplexing questions. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is perfect for studying on your own, with family, friends, co-workers, or your small group, and will motivate you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation of any amount to support the Daily Hope Radio broadcast. Call 800-600-5004 to request your copy today, or visit rickwarren.org. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Now, how does Jesus forgive you? Instantly, completely, and freely. The Bible says this. They're on your outline and here on the screen. God took the sinless Christ and poured our sin into him, our sins. Then in exchange, here's the replacement, he poured God's goodness into us. What a deal! You like this deal? God took the sinless Christ and took, I'm going to take everything dirty in your life and dump it on Jesus, and he's going to pay for it. And then I'm going to take his goodness and I'm going to pour that onto you. And that's why the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When God looks down on you and you have put your trust in him, God says, I don't condemn you. There is no condemnation. Doesn't matter what you've done. I don't condemn you. Why? Because that sin was placed on Christ. That is the most amazing love ever considered.
The second benefit of Jesus' death on the cross is called redemption. It means that he bought my freedom. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. The Greek word for redemption here actually refers to slaves that were purchased in a marketplace. In a spiritual sense, all of us are slaves to sin until Jesus purchased us out of the slave market and set us free from sin's bondage. Now you may be thinking, well, I'm not a slave, so what do I need redemption from? And that's a great question. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:19 that you are a slave to whatever controls you. So based on this definition alone, all of us are slaves to something. You could be a slave to your peers. You might be a slave to your schedule or to your work or to your past, or to memories, or to guilt, or to resentment. You fill in the blank on what you may be a slave to. Look at some verses up on the screen with me that talk about some of the things that we're slaves to. 1 Thessalonians 4:5 says, Don't be a slave of your desires, living like people who don't know God. Are you a slave to your desires? Are you a slave to your lusts? Are you a slave to what your eyes see? 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, God bought you for a price, so do not become slaves of people. The Bible says that we can become slaves of people. We can begin living for the approval of others. It could be the approval of parents. It could be the approval of our boss or a boyfriend or girlfriend. But what Jesus did on the cross, when he came to set us free from slavery. He came to set us free from the slave of our desires and the slavery of people. Galatians 5:1 says this up on the screen. Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. So stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. What is this freedom for? Well, this freedom is to be used for good. 1 Peter 2:16 says, exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. So here's the question. What is it that controls you? Are you controlled by your past? Are you controlled by your habits for living for the approval of others? Are you controlled by your schedule? I know some people who would rather die than be late to anywhere. Let me give you a picture of what Jesus' death on the cross did to purchase our freedom. Imagine a busy marketplace. A lot of commerce going on. People all around selling things, clothes, vegetables. But then in the center of the marketplace, there's something else that's being sold. And it's people who are being sold as slaves. Now, to really picture this, you've got to put yourself on the auctioning block. You have to be the one who's up on the slave block being sold. Prospective buyers are eyeing you, looking you up and down, thinking you as of a thing and not as a person. And the bids begin to start. And as each successive bid is shouted out, you start to look into the eyes of those who are bidding on you, trying to size them up, finding out, are they kind or are they cruel? But it really doesn't matter because they're still trying to buy you for their own purposes. And just as the auction is winding down, a stranger off in the crowd stands up. And he offers a bid that is 1,000 times higher than anyone else's bid. There is no way that anyone could ever match that bid or beat the bid. And as the auctioneer hastily begins to accept that stranger's bid, you look into that stranger's eyes and you realize that he's not there to buy you to use you. He's there to set you free. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He paid for us to set us free. He paid the price to set us free that was so high. A free gift that you and I could never purchase on our own. It would be like waking up on Christmas morning, going downstairs, opening up all your presents, and then going around and collecting all the name tags of the people who gave you those presents to find out who gave you the present, and then whipping out your checkbook and trying to pay him for those presents. It's absurd. You wouldn't do that. No one would do that. And yet so many of us feel like we have to pay for God's love. By good works or by the things we do, but it's impossible because the price is so high. It's so great. Read with me out loud the next verse on your outline, Psalm 49:7. We can never redeem ourselves. We cannot pay God the price for our lives because the payment for human life is too great. This past week, I was talking with a man who has enjoyed significant success in his career. He's made a whole lot of money and done a whole lot of things, and he was telling me about his own spiritual journey of quest to fulfill his own deep desire inside to find freedom and spiritual fulfillment and the whole in his soul. He became a Buddhist a few years ago and decided to go to the mountains of Asia and go on a one-year trek, and he hiked 3,000 miles through the mountains to find enlightenment. Now, to give you a perspective of this, it would be like throwing a backpack on you and starting in Orlando, Florida, and walking across the United States to Orange County, California, for the sole purpose of maybe finding one insight on the journey that could give you some kind of spiritual awareness, some kind of spiritual wisdom that possibly could help you get to heaven. You say, well, that's crazy, and I would agree. It's not only crazy, but it's sad. It's sad because so many people spend their lives trying to passionately seek significance and find freedom and redemption on man-made dead end paths. And here's the amazing truth. The price, the freedom, it's already been paid for. It's already been bought. All you have to do is accept Jesus into your life and begin to walk and follow him, because you're already free in Christ.
Jesus took my punishment on the cross. That's called replacement. He was my substitute. And Jesus bought my freedom on the cross. That's called redemption. He redeems me by paying so I can be free. Now, there's a third incredible benefit of Jesus' death, and it's called reconciliation. Replacement, redemption, reconciliation. It's the third reason Jesus died on the cross. And reconciliation says this. That means he restored my relationship to God. Now, reconciliation is a word you know. It means when you bring two parties together who have been distanced by conflict. There can be reconciliation, obviously, between nations, between parties, between governments, between people. It's when we've been apart from each other and we're brought back together. You know, whenever I do anything that hurts my wife, there is a break in our relationship. And isn't it amazing? Have you ever noticed this? How you can live in the same house and feel so distant from somebody? You know what I'm talking about? You're in the same house. You might even be in the same room. You may have even slept in the same bed. But you just feel distant from them. And what needs to take place is because there's been a hurt on one or both sides, there needs to be reconciliation to bring us back together, to span the distance. Now, the truth is, most people in the world feel distant from God. They don't feel God is close. They think he's watching us from a distance. And that he's not involved in my life. And when I pray, I feel like my prayers just bounce off the ceiling. They're not getting anywhere. They feel like God is a million miles away. That God is not close. That God is not near. That he's far away. Well, I would say this to you. If you feel that God is far away from you, guess who moved? Okay, guess who moved? It wasn't God who moved away. You did. You moved away. And the Bible says our sin separates us from God. But here's the cool thing. God doesn't wait for you to take the initiative. You know, sometimes when Kay hurts me, she waits for me to take the initiative. Or when I hurt her, she waits for me. And either way, she waits for me. That's not true. But the bottom line is, in your relationship to God, God always takes the initiative. You blow it, you walk away from God, and God says, I'm not going to wait until they realize it and they come back. No, God says, I'm going to take the initiative to restore the relationship that you broke. And that's what Jesus did. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2, up on the screen here. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. In other words, he took the initiative. One of the most amazing truths in the Bible is this. This is going to blow your mind. God wants you for a friend. Not as a servant, not as a slave. God wants you as a friend. Jesus said it. He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. And God says, I want a friendship. I want a relationship with the creatures that I made. I want you to know me and love me the way I know and love you. I want you to be a friend. It is amazing to me that the God of the universe would want me as a friend. It's even more amazing to me that he'd want you. I mean, now me, I can understand, but God wants you. You for a friend. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this. We were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now, how does that work? Well, Jesus Christ became the mediator. You know, the mediator is the guy who brings the two together. We all know about divorce mediation. When a husband and wife are so mad and so bitter and so angry at each other that they can't even work out their divorce, you get somebody to come together and say, okay, I'm going to bring the two parties together and we're going to deal with this. And we're going to have some kind of mediation here. It happens all the time. And the Bible tells us, let me read a verse to you. God is on one side and all the people are on the other side. And Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. He was the mediator. What am I saying? When Jesus Christ was on the cross, one of the things he did was, you know, take your place. Another thing he did was buy your freedom. And another thing he did is restore the relationship to God by saying, I will be the mediator. I'm going to be the bridge builder between you and God.
God.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will be back to share a closing thought, but first, check out the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org, after today's broadcast. Log on there and you can get today's entire message, the message series, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional, which is wonderful. Log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we'd love to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book that Chuck was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life. And Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And if you could, please consider giving just a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you, so we really appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you, too. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a final thought for today.
Let me ask you a theological question. Now, it's not a hard one. I know you can answer this. Here it is. Can a butterfly get back into a cocoon and become a caterpillar again? No. Once a caterpillar is a butterfly, it's never going back. It's never going to be a caterpillar again. The same is true with us. When you become a believer, when you're born again, you can't be unborn. When you become a part of God's family, you can't be disinherited from God's family. When your life has been given new life, you can't lose that new life. Now, it may take you some time to spiritually fly, but once you become a new creation in Christ, you are what you are. You are a new creation. And in the book of life where God writes your name, God doesn't write it in pencil with an eraser. He writes it in indelible ink. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new and you can't go back to the past. What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ? It means that the moment you believe in Christ, there is a spiritual transformation. The word is actually in Greek, metamorphosis. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word is the word metamorphosis. That's what a caterpillar goes through when it becomes a butterfly. Everything changes, and that change is irreversible. You say, well, I don't see all those changes in my life. It's a matter of faith, not sight. You see, the greatest step of faith that we can ever take is when we give our lives to Christ wholeheartedly, unreservedly, and say, Jesus Christ, make that change in my life. Make me a new person. I'm not turning over a new leaf. I'm beginning a new life. That's about who you are. It's about who He is. And it's about what God does in your life. The Bible says in Romans 6, sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians. Now, to help you understand how to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, become a part of His family, you can go to my website, rickwarren.org, click on the tab that says Know God, and you'll find a few resources to help you understand how this new life begins. The rest of your life, you're going to be working out the implications. You're not all there yet. You're not perfect yet, but the Bible says in Christ, God sees you as perfect. You are a new creation, and the goal is for your emotions to catch up with the reality as God sees you. Thanks for listening today, and be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.